It is Malloy on Triple M, and have a look at this. We're joining him from Los Angeles, California,
It's
the great Jim Jefferies.
How are you, mate? Good to catch up. It's been a while. What's been happening?
Well, not much with me. Where have you been? I keep on every Wednesday. It's Wednesday over here. I'd speak to my assistant. I go, I meant to be seeing Mick, and he's still hurting after the hair transplant.
Yeah. I've been down the coast making a suit out of human skin. You know, the usual stuff you do. When you are on holidays, what's happening?
Well, I went to Hawaii for a bit. Yeah. Every time you get on a bus or something like that, or a cab, they go, aloha, and then they expect you to say it back, and you go, aloha. Yeah. Even the moody French, you go over to France, and you say bonjour, and they're like, oh, yeah, good for you, thanks for saying. I can say words in America. They can say howdy to me, and I'll say howdy back. But in Australia, when you meet an American, and they say, g'day, mate, don't you just go, shut up.
Yes.
Don't say it.
Well, sounds like they're pulling the piss.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're trying to do a shithouse impersonation.
Yeah. We don't like it. We're like, yeah, that's our word, not your word. And then you're like, what? And you go, don't say g'day. And they go, all right, mate, settle down. Don't say mate either. You're not allowed to say mate. That's the M word. I can use it. You can't use it.
The M word, correct. And if someone tries to lay a fair dinkum on me, it's just a punch in the face.
Oh.
Fair dinkum, mate.
But as Australians, we can say anything to anyone else. I said shalom to a Jewish fellow the other day. No problem. Oh, I can tell you, my wife's pregnant, and so I'm gonna be having a kid. My Jewish mate, Mazel Tov, and I just said Mazel Tov back. He didn't look at me and go, you can't say Mazel Tov. It doesn't seem right. But I went, oh, thanks, mate. And then he went, thanks, mate. And I went, shut up. Don't say it.
You said that your wife is pregnant, having a child. Congratulations.
Yeah, well done.
Well, she's having a child. We'll see about me.
The language these days is we're having a child a child. Yeah. And he'll be wearing an empathy belly next.
I'm doing the empathy getting fat, you know, while the pregnancy's on.
I've got empathy man boobs.
I was doing that working up to the pregnancy. I thought, I'm married now. I don't have to take care of myself. I'll get fat. And then she got pregnant. I tell you what about the pregnancy, though, that I do find funny. It's like they say I should swim. So she goes, heat the pool up, because she doesn't like cold pools, right? So heat the pool up. And now we're dealing Fahrenheit here, not the stupid Fahrenheit, the stupid measurement. I like cellulose. Zero is freezing. 100 is boiling. Makes sense. You don't have this whole, 33 is freezing, shut up, and minus 20.
You've got to do the math.
Yeah, it's too much. Anyway, so in Fahrenheit, pregnant lady's not meant to swim in over 90 degrees of heat in the pool, right? Hot tubs are like 100 degrees Fahrenheit, right? But my wife doesn't like it under 88. So I'm like a scientist trying to get this pool just to the right level so she can dip into it for a second. Anyway, this is the thing. So she goes, I can't swim in a pool, this thing. I can't go on roller coasters. I can't go on a merry-go-round. I can't eat raw fish. I can't drink coffee. And I said to the doctor, can we still... And they're like, of course you can.
Yeah, right? Obviously, you're a dud root because the doctor said, no, you, fine. Go ahead.
Everyone will be safe.
Have you been in the ward for the birth of a child before?
Well, my son, I was there, but it was a cesarean. Cesareans are fun.
Oh.
Cesareans are just like you're talking to a head that's disconnected from the rest of the body.
Wow.
And it just sits there, and they've got a sheet up, and then she just looks at you going, is it going well? I go, I'm not looking at the cut myself. I'm not going to look at it. And then there was a doctor who was just chatting to me, and he's just like this going, oh, yeah, you're a stand-up comedian. And he goes, oh, I like that Bill Burr. And I'm like, just focus. Focus.
I've been to 5 births.
Really? Really?
Yeah, none of them my own. But, just wander in with a large Coke and some popcorn and go, what's going on here? Hang about, Jim. We're going to come back with more after this.
It's Malloy on Triple M. You're listening to Malloy on Triple M. Jim Jefferies is here. He's got a podcast. I don't know about that. Yeah, wherever your podcast, you want to check it out. Kelly Blackheart and Forrest Shaw and Jack Hackett as well.
What do you think about Anzac weekend this weekend in Australia? What do you think of? What are your strong Australian connections that you...
They don't really... Memorial Day over here, they don't really put as much effort in as they do in Australia.
Right.
You think the Americans would, but the America is like every day is Anzac Day. You show up at a sporting event, it's like, can the troops please stand up? And everyone claps them and all that type of stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
It's what half your taxes go on, so you better appreciate it. But the Australians, we have there seems to be a lot more... I did enjoy Prince Philip Bob's funeral.
Oh, I was going to ask.
I haven't heard the last post in a while. It was beautifully done. Beautifully done.
It's a big day for the bugler, Anzac Day, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And there's pressure's a lot of pressure. Because it's one of those instruments where you don't get to play.
No.
You don't hear from the rest of the day.
You're
but
right.
Come Anzac Day, he bounces out of bed, clicks the case open, and goes, oh, boy, you want to get that right.
Well, that's also the thing with the bugler playing the last post. My wife turned to me and she said, is that all that person does in the army? And I wasn't sure.
No.
Maybe.
You're right.
Maybe.
Oh, hang on. Reveille as well, which is get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah,
but you're right. It's not a bad gig if you're over there. Some people are getting shot at. I'll just be back here playing the bugle if anyone needs me.
Back in the old, like when the Redcoats used to fight the Americans and the British soldiers had drummers at the front.
That's right.
You know, there's just a bloke on the snare drum. He must have thought, I'm not fully equipped for this. Can anyone get me some camouflage? They put me in red.
Point. That's a poor choice of instrument as a kid too, isn't it? Kid, first day of school, don't pick up the snare drum.
My mother, I had to learn the flute, right? Because it was the smallest instrument. We're not having a big thing laying around the house. There isn't anything that is more embarrassing as a young boy is playing the flute. She would have had me do the piccolo just so she would have had more space in the house.
Well, my boys came home from school the other day with their new instruments, twin boys, aged eight. One had, Fred had the violin and Lenny had the cello.
Oof.
And Lenny had the cello. I go, Mom, mate, can you play it? He goes, yeah, Dad. Mm. And just got straight into the Jaws theme. As an eight-year-old, I would have thought, what's the cello? Why would you pick the cello? There he is all day.
I've got to tell you a story that's very loosely based. When I was a kid, right, I was an exchange student in America for 2 months. I actually lived in San Diego from about 14 or 15, which was a good time because around 1990, Crocodile Dundee was still one of the biggest movies in the world. Yeah. Yahoo Serious was racing up the charts, right? The accent really came in its own. And I went from a guy who I'd think, and I hadn't kissed any girl. I'd never been cool in my whole life. Now, I did get in some trouble though because I went out there with a friend of mine. It's a wonderful scam that the Lions Club just pays for you. If you say, oh, boy, like this, you don't even pay for it. If you're a poor kid sitting at home, you want to go to America, just ring them up or the Rotary Club. They'll send you overseas and you go over to class. You go over to class and they go, okay, you have a history assignment. You're like, you might. What are you going to do, expel me? Oh, yeah, I'll get on to that. Yeah, good work, right? Anyway, so we went to a school dance, and in America, they do that thing, slow dancing, where they put their hands over the thing. In Australia, we all just sort of stand, the boys stand on one side, the girls stand on the other side, we sort of bop around. But the beauty of the slow dance, I was like, do you want a slow dance? I was just slow dancing with everyone. Cut to the person who was the DJ went, because we have some of our Aussie friends, mates, don't say the word. We have a song for you from your home country. And they turn on Midnight Oil's Beds Are Burning, right? Now, Beds Are Burning was a hit in America. So all of a sudden, we hear through the speakers, dun, dun, dun. And we're like, so what do Australian 15-year-old boys do when they hear Beds Are Burning? We dance like Peter Garrett.
Yeah,
you do the thing where you keep your elbows in close and you move your hands. Now, here's the thing about the Americans. They had gotten the song Beds Are Burning, but the film clip hadn't gotten out there. They had no reference point to what they were doing. So that links into your son getting a cello, right? That's sort of a...
That's what I can't wait for. Mate, do you know what? When Peter Garrett was in Parliament, he was a cabinet member.
Mm.
I always wanted him to cross the floor, but doing his
dance. That's right.
It would have been a good look. Hey, mate, you do us proud overseas, and stories like that really warm my heart.
Yeah.
Thank you once again for swinging by. We look forward to catching up with you again in the near future. Dave, podcast details,
please.
You
got it. It's called I Don't Know About That.